Psalm 9. From the NLT. It says, I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. Verse 3. This is it right there. My enemies retreated. They staggered and died when you appeared. You know, when the Lord appeared, when we call him, he appeared. You keep inviting him in. You keep inviting the King of Kings. This is good. While he was talking, I thought about this verse. So yeah, thanks for sharing this. Our Lord, we thank you. We humble ourselves under the authority of your word this morning. Your word, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 6, every scripture is God's breath. Do I need to dismiss the kids, by the way? Oh, they're gone? Yeah. Every scripture is God's breath and is useful to teach, to rebuke, to equip, and to make us ready for all God, all good works. So, Lord, we submit ourselves under the authority of the Bible, the word. So use this time right now, Lord, to teach our hearts and make us ready for all good works. Amen. So, let's open our Bibles in Matthew chapter, actually before that, 2 Corinthians 13, 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. I want to also encourage all of you who make it a habit to come to our gathering with your physical Bibles. I like that. Even though we conveniently have the screen, technology and stuff, come with your Bibles, come with your notebook, underlined it. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Stop right there. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many of us go to yearly doctor checkup? You don't have to tell me amen, but I know most of us, if not all of us, we go for a yearly checkup. Not because sometimes things are good, things are bad, but sometimes you might think some things are good, but then you went for an examination, what happened? And then you realize, according to the doctors, there is a little issue. I read this verse the other day, I'm like, it says, examine yourselves. What other version do we have here? What does your King James says, Marianne?
It says, examine yourself. Whether
you be in the faith. Okay, so it used the same word, examine. What other version do we have here? NIV, they all say examine? Examine, okay? But it says, examine, put it on the screen for me, on the TPT, the Passion Translation. But I want you to focus right there on this word we all know about, examine yourself, to do like a self-check. It says, now your souls will be strengthened and healed if you hold how steadfast to your faith. Your soul will remain strong in the Lord if what? We hold steadfastly in the faith. Haven't you already experienced Jesus Christ himself living in you? If not, you are deficient. Surprisingly enough, there are many people who go to church who have not experienced Jesus Christ. I don't want that for our church. I want to make sure at least everybody here, you do have I know you're all born again believers. But it's not enough to be born again. Are you growing? Is Jesus, going back to our previous weeks, is Jesus pruning you? Are you being pruned to bear more fruit? You know, we all love spring, right? Because spring is a good season that reminds us the stagnation is over. Hallelujah. Until maybe we'll get a nice rain tomorrow and all this green powder. But thank God for every season. But the green powder is great. Because it marks a season. And then we'll have a couple of rain and the green powder will disappear. And then all the trees will be back to life. So once again, examine yourselves. See if your faith is genuine. Let me tell you this. The Bible says you cannot fool God. Now you might be able to fool somebody, but you can't even fool yourself. Have you ever had a serious conversation with yourself where yourself is like, man, come on, Ricardo, you know you're not real. Come on, you know you're mean. You know you're not kind. Yeah. I was telling my cell group the other day, this week I had to deal with a situation where somebody hit Alyssa's car. You know, Alyssa is not here. She'll soon be back. Yeah. But once in a while, we drive her car. But then we find out every time we drive it, somebody hit it. Or something happened to it. But the last time, it was involving a 3 or 4 car accident. I mean, the car is amazing. It's a 2009 Toyota RAV4. It runs great. I mean, I call this car shark bones, right? I mean, any RAV4 we have in Haiti, if we have them here, Zoe can, right? Shark bones. You know, they call them shark bones. So I like that car. But the insurance wants to total it because the back bumper, it's hit in the back. So I had to, where's Dion? Dion, my man. You know, I had to call Dion. I'm like, Dion, you think you can call the insurance for me? Because I really don't want to deal with them. Unfortunately, he wasn't. Dion gave me some instructions. He's like, this is what you got to do. So I did. But do you know, I felt bad after. Not that I sinned, but it's just like, I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to force myself on. But we live in this world, sometimes you have to put the hammer down. You have to tell people where you stand. You have to. But even whatever the situation might be, even if I find myself in a situation where I have to be forceful, I don't have to sin. That makes sense? But it takes a level of maturity for me to be strict, for me to be direct, you know, direct in my conversation, and yet carry no anger. You see what I'm talking about? Because back in the days, it took me back how I used to be. When I used to be, Kendra can tell you, when I used to be forceful and mad and mean, I used to carry that nature until Jesus pruned that part in my life. Thank God. But now, if I have to be hard, I mean, direct, I don't have to be mean. But still, that situation gave me like a headache the rest of the day. Because I felt like, man, I felt like I don't want to be like that. I don't want to fight with them. Oh, you want my shirt? What the word says? Well, give them under the undershirt. So once again, we go back to 2 Corinthians. Examine yourselves. See if you are in genuine faith. If your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. You know, even if you don't test yourself, life will test you. Circumstances will test you. Okay, let's take it a little closer. That awesome coworker God gives you to work with every day will be a test. It could also be this awesome neighbor you have. You're always trying to say hi to them, but they ignore you, looking at you straight in the face. And then finally, what are you going to do? It says, test yourself. And then, if not, you failed the test of genuine faith. Surely you know that Christ is among you or is in your life. And then we jump to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Jesus said, "Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow. Help me out. Say, "Help me, Lord." Okay, thank you, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I say, "Help me out." I didn't say weep it for yourself, but help Pastor. Say, "Lord, help Pastor." I need the Lord's help. And then this week, you go in your closet, read the rest of Matthew chapter 7. You will understand. Actually, start with Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. From the Beatitudes, Jesus is teaching the people. I mean, all the way down to the sermon from the Mount. And then he goes to chapter 7, verse 21. He goes on saying, "Hey, guys, not everyone who's saying, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually," what? "Do the will of my Father." In other words, only those who obey. You remember the word we had from the beginning of the year? We want to be people who do the word. We want to do the word. If you're doing the word, you know what's going to happen? Your life will prove it. Only those who actually do the will of my Father will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me. Now I want you to acknowledge something right here. On judgment day, Jesus is acknowledging those people. They did prophecy. They did prophesy. Because it says here, on the judgment day, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons. We went on mission trips. Lord, I was overseeing a couple Bible college. I have a network of churches. Jesus, I've got missionaries in Africa, in Haiti, in the Philippines, in the Ukraine. Lord, you remember? I was a worship leader. You remember, Jesus, me and you having this awesome time in soaking, Lord? You remember, Lord, you remember me just pouring my heart?" That's what it's saying here. Prophecy, you know what, you remember what prophecy is. Prophecy is revealing the mind of God. Also, prophecy is encouraging each other. Like right now, I'm prophesying because I'm bringing encouragement to the body of Christ. Prophecy is not just prediction to the future. That's what we call a word of wisdom. But Jesus is saying, many will say, "Lord, we've prophesied. We cast out demons. Not only that, in your name, but we also performed" what? "Miracles in your name," verse 23. "But I will reply, I never knew you." As Jesus knows you, does he know me? It's not enough for me to just know him. Does he know me? It's just like, okay, I'm your pastor, right? Some of you don't really know me. You might have a little information about me. Do I know you? That's why I call. That's why I want to visit you. I want to get in your life. But people who are keeping the pastor away, I'm literally talking serious. I'm just using myself as an example because you can see me. Do you know me? When did we go out for coffee and we just chat and just put Jesus in that place? Do you know Jesus? Do you spend time with him? Is your quality time with Jesus is a non-negotiable time? My brothers and sisters, the day of our Lord is close. You must grow in intimacy with the Holy Spirit. Does he know you? When the trumpet sounds, that's why I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be distracted. I could be, like I told you last week, I could be in three different places. Even my mind, I'm shutting my mind when it comes to my responsibility in Haiti. Because I realize I can't physically there in my mind, I can't be emotionally there in all those churches. So I cut the pastors. I'm still overseeing. I'm still like being a mentor. You know, I'm there for them. When there's a situation that needs me, I'm there on Zoom, on WhatsApp and all that stuff. But I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be on mission here, mission there. No, I'm like, okay, Lord, what exactly you want for me? And right now God says, Ricardo, I plant you right here in Virginia Beach. This is your assignment. I'm like, okay, Lord. Sometimes I really want to have wheels to start driving because I have, you know, other place I feel like I should go. But the Lord's like, nope. Because I want to remain faithful in what he's asking me to do. I want to be known by him. I want him. I want me to know him. I want him to know me. My sisters, my brothers, verse 23. There's a warning there. Jesus says, I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me. Why? You who break God's law. In some of your translation, it says, you who practice lawlessness. Evildoers. Lawlessness is the state of this, is a state of disorder due to a disregard of the law. You disregard the law. You disobey the law. What does God's law say about relationship? Let's say, for example, managing life relationship. You know, one of the things Christians, some of us struggle in, we don't know how to manage people. We don't know how to manage relationships. And you know what we find in the church? When I'm hurt, instead of going and talk about it, I remove myself. That's demonic. So then you have a bunch of hurt people from church going to other church because they never cure or take care of the situation. And what do they say? Jack Frost said it. Hurt people, hurt people. When you carry hurt around, eventually you will be hurt. You'll be hurting other people. It's not the will of God for us. Let's focus on this, where it says in the verse, not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, he understand the proper verbiage. Lord, Lord, right? Because for us to become a Christian, we have to confess in our mouth, right? Believe in our hearts. You confess you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. That's how you become a believer. The warning Jesus gives us in this verse is this. It's not enough to do miracles. It's not enough to have the word of the Lord in our mouth. Is Jesus affecting my everyday action? Ooh, you see, and I wrote this down here. A lot of people, you know what they do? They want to separate their spiritual life from their everyday life. You can't do that. So I don't have a life outside of this. I should be the same person calling under a house at Home Depot. When I'm by myself, when I'm under stress, whatever the situation is, I find myself, when you encounter me, you said it, Larry, even in the lowest of the lowest, Jesus is still there. The name of Jesus. And I believe that's what God wants for us. He wants us to live a life being under the influence. And for those of us who've been in the world and getting drunk, you know what that means? It's not good to get drunk, but when you're under the influence, you're not in your right mind. Well, I want to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Ephesians chapter 6, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how people do it. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We can't live a life without the Holy Spirit. If preaching could save a man, Judas would have been saved. If prophesying could save a man, I tell you, Balaam would not have been cast away. If preaching could have saved, think about this. Judas had the most efficient teacher, and yet his heart never changed. You remember in the word in the gospel, it says Judas was a thief. Jesus knew Judas was stealing money from the little kitty bank. I pray, I said, Lord, please allow me to be patient with the Judas around me. If Judas, think about this for a minute with me. Judas, Jesus couldn't save him. And I believe Judas had a chance. He had a choice. Question that you can talk in your home groups. Think about it. Did what Judas do, was it worse than what Peter did?
No.
All the disciples, they all did the same thing, abandoned Jesus. Yeah, Judas went and sold them, you know. But Judas had a choice. You know, from this verse in Matthew, we can come up with two questions. Can a believer lose his salvation? Is it once saved, always saved? Think about this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. Number one question. Can one lose their salvation? Number two, can people operate up miracles and yet not know, not in relationship with Jesus? Oh, we've seen it. Oh, yes. People can do miracles and yet they don't know Christ. Oh, they used to. And I'd like your home groups to have this conversation for you cell leaders. Take this to your home groups. Have this conversation. I'll send some notes to you. But for us to answer these questions, I think it might help us out today to talk about what's a Christian? Help me out. What is a Christian? A follower of Jesus. Anything else? Someone who is trying to have an intimate relationship with Jesus. That's good. I agree with that. A follower of Jesus. So really, that's good. You nail it right there. A Christian is not just someone who says a prayer. That's why it's not enough to just confess, unless you're on the cross like this, right? The guy on the cross that died on the cross is like, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Jesus said today. He was talking about being saved by the chain of the chain. I don't know if you say that in English, but whatever. You know, the guy just pretty much like barely made it. But he sees the season. He sees the occasion. He's like, Lord, remember me when you come in glory. He's like, dude, you know, reverend God. This God, he doesn't deserve to be on the cross, but we do. We do. It's not enough to pray the prayer. Is your everyday walk with Christ is making you a new creation? And this takes me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17. We all know this verse, right? It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. A Christian is a new creation. Are we becoming new every day? A Christian is being improved every day. Ah, it's one of my favorite songs. Every day with Jesus. is better than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I add, I fear him more and more. Because the fear of the Lord, our love for the Lord is not enough. We need the fear of the Lord to keep us from evil. So a Christian, remember, I'm building on two questions. Can someone lose their salvation? You can have an argument with somebody like, oh no, were they really saved? I believe so. Go and read Hebrews. And we tie back to John chapter 15. Jesus says, if a branch is not connected to the tree, what's going to happen? That branch, Father would come, cut it. And what happened? Well, that branch, this branch used to be attached to the tree. But now, because it's not bearing any more fruit, because it's detached to the tree. Oh my goodness, this is so good. A Christian. What are the other way we can define a Christian? Listen to what it says in Acts chapter 11, verse 24. It says, Barnabas was a good man, full of Holy Spirit, strong in faith, and many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him back to Antioch. Both of them stayed there with the church for a full year, teaching large crowd of people. It was at Antioch that the believers were called the first time Christians. Do you know Christians at that time? It was a word to bring the people that follows the way down. It wasn't like, yeah, I'm a Christian. No, it was more like a curse. Are you Christ-like? Think about this, guys. For the first time in Antioch, the heathen called the disciples, you bunch of Christ-likes. Because at that time, the gospel wasn't popular. That's why I am a Christian, and I'm proud of it. Because I am a follower of Jesus. But I want people to notice, he must be a Christian. Somebody would ask me, I said, yeah, I follow Jesus, like Jerry said. A Christian is a follower of Jesus. He's a kingdom citizen. A Christian is someone that live on this life with a kingdom-minded mindset. A kingdom mindset on everything you do. You bunch of Christ-like, here's another verse. Acts 26, verse 28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you remember when Paul was defending himself, verse 25, but Paul, I am not insane, he says to the king, most excellence. What I'm saying is the sober truth. And the king Agrippa knows about these things. I speak boldly, for I am sure these events are all familiar to him, for they were not done in a corner. He says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? Paul asked him. I know you do. In verse 28, Agrippa interrupted him saying, do you think you can pursue me to become a Christian? You know, the word Christian is only mentioned in the New Testament about three times. In another verse, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, it says, but if a man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this name. And Peter is telling the people, please listen to me. If you are suffering because you go online and you're trying to vent, if somebody's cursing you because you're trying to vent yourself on political issue, listen, that's between you and whoever, whatever you do online. But if I'm posting online, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, people repent. If they block me, okay, glory to God. That's like, hey, I'm promoting. Paul is saying, if you are suffering because you're backstabbing, you're talking bad about people, you can't hold secrets, or you're not faithful at your job, you're not faithful, they fire you, don't be like, man, I'm being persecuted because I'm a Christian. No. There's some people think, They're being persecuted everywhere. Well, maybe you're not being faithful. Maybe you're not disciplined enough. Maybe you're not loyal. That's a good verse in 1 Peter. You can read the whole chapter, chapter 4. Peter says, hey, if any of you suffer because you're a Christian, count it as a blessing. And we know how many Christians, missionaries right now who are suffering for their faith. And if the disciples died for their faith, it's worth it. There are missionaries right now, as we speak, they're running for their life. People who've been called. And I encourage you again today, see yourself as an ambassador of the kingdom. You are missionaries. If God still have you here, he have you here for a greater purpose than work, eat, sleep, and repeat. He wants you to live under the power of the Holy Spirit, a life that reflect his glory. Oh, my goodness. Acts chapter 16, verse 31, it says, They replied, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. Ephesians chapter 2, you can write those down and read them later. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It's a gift. How do we become a Christian? I've been saved by grace, right? Not by power, not by grace, not by might, but it's by grace, by the spirit, power of the Holy Spirit. We're born again. By grace. It's a gift from God. Nothing we can do to earn God's grace. Even when you fast, when you do your things you must do, discipline your Christian life, you're not doing it to be like, see God, I just fast 3 days. I'm expecting. It's good for you. But man, when Father, when Abba sees how much you believe, you're like, you know what, God, I believe. You know, nowadays it's not popular to be a Christian. But man, I don't care about being popular. I just want to identify with Christ. Christ-like. I want to be Christ-like. Once saved is not always saved. I want you, as a matter of fact, the Bible says, I want you to live, work your salvation with fear and trembling. Be careful, because God does not reward the beginning. It doesn't matter how much you were on fire for God 3 years ago. It doesn't matter how long you've known the Lord. 20 years you've been in the church. How about today? Next year, about this time, I want to be more on fire for Jesus. That's what I want to do. That's what I want for our church. I want us to be people who are after God. Keep saying yes to you, Lord. I say yes to you, to your will, yes to your ways. I'm reading it again, verse 9, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, none of us can boast about our salvation. Salvation is not a reward of the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. Verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, make me a vessel. Make me a vessel. Can you pray this with me, Lord? Make me a vessel, Lord. Make me a vessel. Make me a vessel. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ. So we can do what? Good things he planned for us to long ago. I told you a Christian is a new creation. A Christian is redeemed. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold you were redeemed. And we just celebrate that during communion earlier. We take communion to announce, I've been redeemed. Tell your neighbor, you've been redeemed. Tell your neighbor, you've been redeemed. Help me out. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. You've been redeemed. Remember, you're not the same anymore. So you live a life of that's been redeemed. You've been redeemed. The blood was shed so we could experience freedom. A Christian is justified. You know, when the enemy wants to tell you, man, you bad person, you remember this? You remember how you used to be? That used to happen in my life. Now you know what I tell the enemy? Man, you see how I am now? You remember how I used to be, Ricardo? Oh yeah, I do. That person is dead. That Ricardo is so long dead. But look at me now, devil. Look at me now. You've been justified, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. You don't have to read it. You know what to justify means? To pronounce righteous. You guys are saints. Any saints here? Kingdom greetings, saints. That's right. So you carry yourself like saints. That's why we tied this to 2 Corinthians 13:5. You examine yourself. If you can't prove, if your faith is not growing, if you don't know God, if you have things, baggage, holding you back, you repent. My brothers and sisters, until we see the Lord, we'll deal with this life. We'll deal with sin. A Christian is guaranteed glorification. So this body is going down. But thank God that we get to experience His nature on a daily basis. Yes, we'll see Him as He is when we see Him face to face. So once again, in conclusion, remember this. This is what the Lord says. Get away from me, you who commit lawlessness, for I never knew you. You know, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. I want to give you a couple minutes to do what? You go in your heart. You know, is there any area in your life this morning that the Lord needs to sit on that throne?